Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
So I know Don's not here, but I just want to thank him for asking me to speak. I was actually shocked. I was not expecting to be asked to speak, but I have to say that this, I love this meeting. I celebrated 20 years of abstinence at the end of May, and I was coming to Kitchen Sink was my home meeting. Serenity Sunday too, but Kitchen Sink especially, just I loved meeting. And I was going for a really long time, then it moved from the log cabin to somewhere else, and I went for a while, and then I couldn't deal with it. Then then I got very sick, and I actually couldn't drive or whatever, and then I broke my leg, and I couldn't go around. This was before COVID, so there was no Zoom, so, you know, it was hard for me to go to meetings, and then I love it that it's Zoom because I can now go back to meetings again. So that's been great. And, you know, when Ellie was sharing about her abstinence, my abstinence is, it's bizarre to me that I have this abstinence. And, you know, my idea of what I would like to tell you about how wonderful it is now is that I, you know, I've abstained from sugar and flour and this and that and 50 million things. You know, I eat a grain of rice or whatever, and that I've been abstinent for so long. And that also that, you know, I hear people all the time share that their life got bigger when they got abstinent. They got married, they got a house, they got this, they got that. I got nothing. And my life got smaller. And, you know, as a bulimic, I was very social. It made me social because I could go out and do anything. I had my food with me. I mean, as long as I could find a toilet, I was fine. But so when I got abstinent, it was kind of like God just like pulled me back inside myself. And for me, what I've received is not out there. It's in here. And I've learned how to love myself, how to trust myself, my instincts, and how to be myself. When I was a kid, I didn't start out as a compulsive overeater. When I was a kid, I was not interested in food at all. You know, my mother had to call me in several times when it was lunchtime, and I didn't want to go if I was playing, and I didn't really care about food very much. And I had a lot of things I didn't like. And it's so funny because I didn't like pasta. I didn't like a lot of bread. I didn't like pizza. I didn't like spaghetti. I didn't like cake. I didn't really like cookies, unless this one particular one that I like. I liked sugar a lot. Candy was my thing. I think if my mother had tried to just do that with me, hold me off on sugar, I might have been okay. And I grew up in a house in the 50s. I'm 74. And you know, everybody, all the parent women were on diets. And so we went on every one. It was I have two sisters, older sisters. The second one, she was overweight, and we'd go to doctors every year, you know, for our checkups and stuff. And she was always overweight. So my mother had us on diet, and I think I went on my first diet when I was 12, you know, just beginning puberty, which is like so bad to do that to somebody. And then she had to hide food from us. We were allowed to eat stuff during the weekend, but, you know, candy and crackers and cookies and whatever, she hid somewhere. We always found them. So it's like so silly that she tried to do that. And then my mom, until I came into program, I didn't know this, but my mom was anorexic. And when I came into program and I found out that she was, that I could hear, you know, all the behaviors of anorexia, and I went, oh my God, she's anorexic. I didn't know that. And that's what I grew up in, thinking that that was normal. It wasn't normal. Even when we would eat dinner and we all had our place, we had to sit next to my mother, and she would eat a couple of bites and then say she was full. And I would say to her, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you like stop eating? And she'd always smile. And you know, I'm sure that fed into her whole thing. My parents fought a lot, and I always heard their fights. And one day they had a really big fight. My mother's walking up the stairs, and she's saying she was going to commit suicide. So I had to tell my dad. He had to open the door. They sent her to the hospital, had her stomach pump and stuff. And when he came home, he said, well, the doctor said you have to be careful what you say around your mother. And I was very outspoken as a child. I mean, I said whatever I was on my mind. I had opinion about everything. And, you know, in the 50s, kids were supposed to be seen but not heard. And I couldn't stop. In my family, there was so much I felt was wrong, you know, and lies and stuff that I had to say something. And so when he said that, I went, I better stop talking. And I don't know how I could do that. But then when I discovered vomiting, and it's like it wasn't known, bulimia wasn't known as a disease back then. I thought it was great because I told all my friends, you don't have to diet again, just do this. And they thought, ooh, that's kind of gross. So then I didn't tell anybody. But the thing that happened to me when I started doing that was that I suddenly had no opinion. I didn't have anything to say. I had no voice. I mean, when I was 20, I spent a year almost saying nothing, you know, like saying hello and whatever. And so when I got into recovery, it was kind of like I had, you know, God said, I'm going to restore you to sanity. You're going to get this back and you're going to have to deal with it. And thank God for the steps, because that's how I learned how to deal with it. And one of the things that happened to me, and this was much later in my abstinence, in the beginning, I had to eat, you know, I had to weigh and measure my food and ate 3 meals a day. And it was because I didn't know what a meal was anymore. I just was binging and purging all day and all night. And so that was really great. But my sponsor at the time, Tony, you know, he said to me, you know, if you want abstinence for a long term, you're going to have to find one that works for you. And his working with me, you know, we realized that testing certain foods, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And then I'd want it, and then I'd have to have the last hurrah, and I'd have to binge on it. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to take it back, and blah, 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 blah. And he's the one that said to me, you know, your abstinence is that you just eat whatever you want and you stop when you're full. And I went, oh. And what happened as I started doing this is that I realized God had restored me to sanity. I'm back where I was when I was a kid. I'm a very fussy eater. I don't eat anything I don't like. I don't eat diet foods. The first thing that was said to me at the very first meeting I went to was, you don't have to diet anymore. If you are abstaining, you'll lose weight automatically. You know, I only had like 40-something pounds to lose, and I relapsed twice. And I had maybe a couple of years, and then I went out. And I went out because I started binging and purging again, and I just thought, oh, I failed. It's not working for me. I'm a failure. So I left. And then the third time I came back, I said to God, I had no, you know, the first few times it was like, I'll be abstinent, but I gotta keep my weight under control. And this time I said to God, you know, you're in charge. You could take it, you know, lose weight or not lose weight. And I didn't lose weight for a really long time. I think I was maybe 10 years abstinent, maybe a little less or whatever. And my girlfriend told me about this doctor, and I went to this doctor, and my metabolism had to be reset. And that's understandable considering the way I ate. And that's when I started losing weight. And so now I'm really at a normal weight. So one year I was having surgery, and they have to weigh you and take your height. And I've been 5'3 ever since I was, I don't know, 20, in my 20s. And I think I was in my 30s. And I said, how tall am I? And she said, you're 5 foot. And I said, no, I'm not. This is wrong. And then my first thought is, oh, God, if I'm 5 foot, I have to lose more weight. And then I measured myself, and I am 5 feet. I have osteoporosis. My mother had it too. She went from 5'2" to like 4-something when she got older. And so, you know, it's in my genes. I'm the only one that was like my mom. And I would talk to her about it all the time. Nobody else in my family knew what to say or understood any of it. And, you know, my mom would say to me, like, who's the mother and who's the daughter in this relationship? And I would say, yeah, like, who do you think? Because this was something, an area that I knew, and I wanted her to recover so bad. And she had a stroke. She's very thin, and she had a stroke, and she's in the hospital. I came home, and I was talking to the nurses, and they said, you know, we found your mother at night crawling on the floor looking for laxatives. And I thought, oh, my God, like, not only was she anorexic, but she also was a laxative abuser. And, you know, these were all news things to me. And I called, like, this person had a thing that she really worked with anorexics and asked, you know, if there's anything that I could do to get her in or whatever. And they said, basically, she has to want it. And she didn't want it. So my other sisters, they maintain their weight, they manage it. And, you know, the big book says more about alcoholism. You know, it says that some of us can manage it, and then some of us cross the line. I crossed the line very fast after I started throwing up. Very fast. I couldn't control it. I just couldn't control it. And I wouldn't have this accident. I wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for program, because it's the steps that allow me to have this accident and to have this inner knowing part of me grow. And, you know, I do really like myself today. And I'm not an easy person. Like, you either love me or you really hate me. And that's just the way it goes. I don't have a lot of friends, but the friends I have are my forever friends. You know, Kristen and Tony, they're my rocks in this program. And we've gone through a lot in our relationships. And that's the beauty of this program, is that if you're working the program and something's off and you have a fight and you get angry, you got to look at what's your part in it. You know, that's just the way it goes. And I know that if Tony and I have a fight, that he's looking himself too. And I'm looking at myself. You know, there's an interesting thing with me is that I have had the worst luck with men in romance area. Just the worst luck. I fall in love. When I find somebody, I fall in love really fast. I connect on a spiritual level. And then when it doesn't work out, it's like ripping something out of me, and it's very difficult. And this was going on a lot. And then one day I just said to God, okay, listen, you know I want to be married. I'm giving this to you. If I'm supposed to have a relationship, I will. If I'm not, okay, and I'm going to go ahead and live my life. And God said, okay, I got it. And he still has it. I haven't been in a relationship in like forever. But and every now and then I check in with God and go, okay, well, like, do you think it's time yet? Do you think it's going to happen yet? I don't know if I could ever live with a guy. I had an astrologer who told me that if I ever got married, you should live in separate houses next to each other, because I'm too independent. And I started laughing. I said, that's really true. That would work really great. And I always thought if I get married, we should at least have separate bedrooms, you know, because we need a place to hide away. And then also, you know, it keeps the relationship going. Anyway, the steps are like the most amazing thing. One of the things just recently that I discovered, you know, and what's my part in looking at relationships, like, because I always thought it was the guy, you know, and I didn't know why. And so just recently I thought, oh, my part is that I hold my loving. I withhold my loving. If I'm angry at you, if I'm angry at you, I don't talk to you. It's silent treatment. But it's like, I don't know, I was taught somewhere, and maybe that's what people did when in the 50s or stuff. It's like, you don't tell somebody you love them until they tell you, the guy tells you first. So I was always waiting for the guy to tell me that he loved me, and then I could love him back. And nobody ever said, you could tell him first. It doesn't matter. And you know, that's the truth. So that's my part. And when I did my, I did 3 5th steps, formal ones. The first one was autobiographical, which is interesting, telling somebody my life story, but it didn't really, didn't really give me much. The second time I did it with somebody, and I did it through the workbook, those questions. I didn't like that at all. But the last time I did it, when I came back the third time, I really wanted to know my character defects. And Carol was willing to do my 5th step with me, and it was amazing, because like when I was done, and he went through it very fast, like, you know, this is what happened, this is how I felt, blah blah blah. And he said to me, oh my God, like you're the ultimate victim, because you think that you're not even, you think you're God's spawn, and so God can't even come in because you're the devil, you're part of the devil. And I went, oh my God, that is true. That's really how I've been operating. And I used to, you know, I would lob on somebody who was spiritual, because I thought if I'm around spiritual people, then God's going to go, oh, look, she's in there. So, okay, I can love her. And that changed everything for me. That's when I started to really shift. And when it would come up, I would just go, oh, there's Wendy. I call that part of me my pathetic self. My pathetic self is out. It doesn't happen very much anymore, because I am part of God, and it's ridiculous. I also came into program with already having a spiritual program. And actually, that's what attracted me, the 12 steps, that they were spiritual in nature. And I went, oh, this is really interesting. And, you know, the thing I did learn is that, you know, I always thought, you know, God was this being out there, incredible being, but, and he's very busy, and you have your thing to maintain, and then, you know, God has his. Well, that's not what I was taught here. God in everything, and you give your food to him, and you tell him, you know, all your problems. And God for me is a space.
Excuse me, you have 5 minutes left.
Thank you. It's a light. You know, it's a huge light. And if there's a God, that a being, like if you saw his toenail, it would be too bright for you to even look at him. That's how it is. And if you have any idea of what God is, that's not God. It's just beyond the beyond. And so, you know, I have a personal relationship with God now, and it's like I can talk to him and tell him, you know, what's going on, and you know, and I can see when I'm trying to control something, I have to work really hard and fast to get out of that, to give it to God. And you know, it could be even something as small as, well, I have all this to do today. I have to go to the grocery store, I have to take Henry for a bath, gotta give her a walk, I gotta go to a meeting, blah blah blah, and I'm trying to figure out what to do, and then suddenly something will go, well, wait a second, you can plan it, but God's the one in charge. You know, you plan, God last, and he does, because like goes, ha ha ha, well, let's see what is going to be in store for you today. And then I just go, okay, this is what I'd like to do, and let's just see what happens. And sometimes I do it all, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes, you know, something comes up and I change it, and then I find out a couple of days later was a good thing I changed it, because this is when I really needed to do that, or, you know, something like that. So yeah, there's that. And my spiritual practice, you know, has grown. It's different than it was, because again, I had it coming in. I've been studying spiritually since 1969. So I've been meditating for a really long time. And you know, I still have a practice that I do, but it's more like I'm doing it all the time. And it's just about, you know, sending the light to me and out to others, and to ask God to like guide my day, and, you know, and for me to be loving and caring and kind. And kind is a big one. That's, you know, it's really easy for me to not do that. So it's, my dog teaches me that. I have to say, animals are like the most amazing things, because she has taught me kindness and love, and like, she'll get attacked by a dog and she doesn't go back and fight. She just backs off and goes away. And it's just like really amazing. And she also, she's a Shar Pei, and the breeder told me that, but she's my third one. And they said to me, you know, you can feed your dog 3 times a day, but you know, they have to self-regulate themselves. She has food out in her bowl all the time, and she doesn't eat if she's not hungry. I sometimes give her a treat and she doesn't want it. And it's like, I used to say to her, wow, could you be my food sponsor? It's like, how do you do that? So, she's pretty amazing. And my other Shar Pei was the same. My other two Shar Peis were the same way. I find myself like in a meditative state pretty much most of the time. It's just what's happened to me. And I can hear it and I can feel it inside. And that's pretty amazing. The other thing, you know, about gratitude, because people, you know, do gratitude lists and stuff. And I used to do that. And one day I woke up, and this is in the middle of, I don't know what, not a great time. And I just had this gratitude. I had like stepped into this space of gratitude. And the whole day I was just like, whoa, this is like incredible. I didn't have to say
anything. Excuse me, 1 minute left.
We're grateful for that. I just was grateful like all the time. And so I'm not always in that space, but I try to get there. It's pretty phenomenal. I was going to share something else. It's so funny. Last night, the movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't know if everybody's seen it. I haven't seen it yet, but you hear that the title all the time. And I was watching TV, and I don't know if they were, somebody was just saying the movie, Anything Everywhere All at Once. And I just said it to myself, and I went, oh my God, that's me when I was bulimic and out there. Everything, everywhere, all at once. That's how I ate. Everything, everywhere. And I ate it all at once because I was like shovel worthy. So anyway, thank you. And just a quick to say, like I already said, my life isn't peaches and roses, but it's like I'm in a inner space that's really great, and hopefully sometime God will like give me something physically, which would be really nice. Anyway, thanks a lot for letting me share. Okay, this is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the business meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first 3 questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon. Somebody have a question? Christian.
Thank you, Wendy, for a great share. I appreciate it. And I so appreciate you. I know you've dealt with a lot of heavy duty amount of challenges in the last few years. And my question is, how do you apply your program? And like, basically, what's it like today? Like, when you approach these problems, when these problems present themselves, how do you approach it in a safe, sane, recovered manner?
Okay. It's the same thing I shared about. It's like I try as quickly as possible to get to God and say, okay, you know, what's the thing here? I was sick for, I still am kind of, but I was sick for a really long time. I had like 7 surgeries, and then I fell and I broke my leg, and it was a major 6.5-hour surgery, and I still had like a lot of pain in my leg. And then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was stage 1, thank God. And they all wanted me to like have a mastectomy. And I said, no, it's at stage 1. I want to see what else there is to do. And I'll just manage it through mammograms. And for 4 years, My doctor gave me this medication to take because it prohibits estrogen, which is what caused my cancer. And for 4 years, it was fine. And then it grew a little bit. And so I had a lumpectomy. And that was a whole big deal because I had to have some surgery afterwards. And that was crazy. And I had to have it twice because the first doctor messed it up. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess it's sort of like take it one step at a time. When I had my surgeries, like I just had to give it to God. I wasn't afraid. I mean, the worst part for me is the pain. And, you know, then I had to deal with that. And thank God I had friends that I could call and share with. And I had friends that came and helped me. They bought me food and took me grocery shopping and whatever I needed. But I don't know. I mean, it's not like I ever got mad. I just, and I didn't like go, gee, I wonder if I did something to deserve this. I said, no, you know, God doesn't do stuff to us. God is with us through stuff. So I just relied on God as much as I could. I still do today. Thanks. Anybody else? John.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you. Hi, John. So much for that great lead. You look terrific. Now, what do you do on a daily basis to keep your keep things going for you, Wendy, please?
Well, it's my spiritual practice. I meditate every day, and it's a long meditation. As a matter of fact, I have one teacher who passed away, and then I have another teacher, and none of them said, you know, meditation is like going somewhere. What I teach is spiritual exercise. So I look at it as an exercise. Like you have a physical body that you do exercise with. We have a spiritual body. And when you sit down and you do your practice, it builds your spiritual body. And that's how, for me, that's how I grow inside. So that's the main thing that I do. And then, you know, if I get angry during the day, I have to immediately look at that and see what my part is in it. But sometimes it's so funny. I don't have a lot of anger too much today. Somebody says something bad about my dog. I do get pretty crazy. Sometimes humor comes in. Like I got mad one time because I forgot it was a holiday. I can't remember, it was a recent holiday. And my neighbors had a big thing at their house, and they're Hispanic, and they like to use microphones, even though they had like 20 people, and they're singing all day. And I took my dog out for a walk to get away from it. It was, you could hear it to the whole neighborhood, and it was driving me crazy. I tried to go to sleep. I tried to do stuff in it. And then I, at night, I was doing my laundry, and they're still singing. Now they're doing karaoke, and they can't sing. And I was so angry. I was about to scream, shut up. And what came out of my mouth was, oh, I started howling like a dog. It was so funny. I started laughing, and they stopped. And they was like, wow, what was that? And they started singing again. I did it again. And they stopped. And they stopped. It was so funny. So, and then, you know, at night before I go to sleep, I'm always sending prayers, thanking God for the day. And, you know, I check in all the time spiritually. That's pretty much what I do. And then I try to do stuff. If it happens, it happens. Okay, thanks, John. It's good to see you. Gloria.
Hi, it's Gloria. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for your share. I wanted to know if you could talk a little bit about how you dealt with your character defects. And if you had any challenges with perfectionism and specifically?
Yeah. Well, like I said, the main character defect I had is like being this ultimate victim, thinking that I'm part of Satan, not God. So, you know, that's been removed pretty much, although, you know, I do check in sometimes. Perfectionism. You know, I guess I do have some perfectionism in me, but I don't look at it as perfectionism. I look at it as I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I just happen to have fortunately or unfortunately, I just happen to have an eye for certain things. And so I see a lot. And I was a bookkeeper, and, you know, I could see people doing stuff with their money. I could see whatever. And it's like, you know, now I'm not shutting up, so I have to speak up about it. And so I think maybe the perfectionism mostly was in how I look, and that I could never be, my body was never okay. It never was okay, ever. Even, you know, even when I was throwing up, it was even worse. What I do today, when that comes in, is I try to dress as sexy as I can when I'm feeling fat. And I remember Christian and I used to hang out together, and one day we were at a stoplight, and these big, huge black women, I don't know if there was a Mexican in it or not, but they were dressed to the nines. They were wearing tight clothes, all their, everything was sticking out, and they went, look at that, they look beautiful. And Christian was heavy, and he was wearing baggy clothes, and I said, see, you're wearing baggy clothes, we already know you're fat, so like, wear pretty clothes. And you know, it's okay, because he was, and we knew about it, and we talked about everything. So that's what I do today when I'm feeling really bad. I try to do something that makes me look better, even though I look at myself and I go, oh God, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I do it, and it does help. Thanks for your question. Anybody else? Time for, I think, one more. Somebody has questions. Carol.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about your experience with the ninth step? It's the most scary step for me. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, making amends. Yes, I can. You know, I had a lot of financial events today because I stole a lot. And that was kind of easy because I would go into a store and give them money. And a lot of them already knew that people did this. And some of them I sent money. If there was a place that was closed, I would donate something. But I think the biggest amends was with my parents, my mom and dad. Growing up, I just hated them. And I was not very nice. I mean, like I said, when I was mad at something, I withheld my love. So I withheld my love from them a lot because I felt, well, they were doing it to me. And, you know, I did try to tell them that I was sorry, but they would just say, oh, you know, it's okay, whatever. And this is really interesting, but when they passed away, particularly my dad, because I don't even know where it came from, where this hate came from with him. But I had this experience with him in the inner, and it was very real. And you know, I talked to my dad, and you know, we had this whole conversation, and my dad was so filled with love, and he was so happy, and he was showing me around where he is and whatever. And I told my sisters, and it was like, I said, wow, it's like Daddy was really a very loving person. He just couldn't do it in this body. And they all thought I was crazy because they lived with him too. But that's how my amends played out. My mom too. You know, with my mom, I think my amends was mostly trying to help her in her recovery. And I couldn't do that. So I tried to be with her, you know, in the last moments of her life. So, and you know, she visited me too, and she's very happy and very independent. And so I went, okay, they're good. So that's how I deal with the ninth step. And you know, when I have to make amends, you know, I try to do it as fast as possible. And then it's just, you know, I'm really sorry that I did this, and it can be over right away. All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'll just say thank you so much, y'all, for being here and letting me share. And like I said, I'm so glad I'm back at this meeting. You know, Christian was sharing and he told me, and that's what brought me back. And I went, oh God, I love this meeting. Why did I stop going? So here I am again. And yeah, I'll be here again and again.